It's time for the Jabbercast.
Welcome to the Jabbercast with Big JD and Lippo. Talk radio on the go, where we talk about anything and everything with a new topic every week. From the awesome candy you ate as a kid and sibling rivalry to public restrooms, coffee versus tea, and who reads on the toilet. You get it all here at the Jabbercast podcast. Talk radio on the go. Listen when you want and where you want. Copyright 2006, Big JD and Lippo. All rights reserved. Listener feedback encouraged. Some conditions apply. Open mind sold separately.
That's right, copyright 2006.
What the heck is up with that?
This is the Jabbercast.
And we're living in 2006? Or anybody in 2009 can steal the show?
And he is?
The guy who steals the show? I mean, literally steal the show.
And he is?
In Arizona. His name's Bob.
He might as well be in Arizona.
And he's doing a show called the Jabbercast.
Once again, welcome to the Jabbercast.
I'm Lippo.
And I'm Big JD. Technically, we started on time.
Technically, yes, we did.
Until technically, something went wrong.
Well, nothing goes wrong. You activate all three tracks.
Well, something goes wrong with the software.
Right. You think, okay, I made a mistake. Let me start again. Oh, you want to record all three tracks again?
Yeah, I'm always, every time that happens, I'm going to email Apple, and I never do. Have you ever?
No, but you did email them about something.
Yeah, what was that?
I don't know.
I did it get fixed?
I was just wondering if your
suggestion
got folded into one of the updates or not.
Folded into. I like that.
That means the bird has no food and it wants some food.
Really?
Yes. I'm making noise. Let's go with the food.
He's smacking his ladder.
Yep.
Wow.
Because that's the best noise he knows how to make.
Very intelligent.
It works on me.
Does it?
Yeah, I get up as soon as I hear that. And
oh, I thought you meant you do that and somebody feeds you.
I go in the garage and bang my ladder off the wall.
Sounds like a song. Bang your ladder off the wall.
Yeah, it does a little bit. Almost like Scrub the Grout.
Whoa. I haven't heard that in a long time.
My friend got the little black cat we got?
Right.
There was three of them. Mm-hmm. Sisters. And our drummer got one of the other sisters.
Yeah.
And we went over to their house last night for band practice, but we were there the night before as well, just socializing. And they told us that that cat pees in the shower, and they have ceramic tile in their shower.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
Okay. So he's scrubbing the ground.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Nice. Seems,
no, that's not nice. That cat would not be living in my house anymore.
They should train him to go in the toilet.
There, he's in the bathroom already. Why do you just walk a couple of feet and you're at the toilet?
Because hopefully they scrub that already.
Exactly. Well, you pee in the water, it's okay.
That's a drummer of King Friday, by the way, kingfridayrocks.com.
Yep. Mm-hmm. We had band practice last night. So.
And how'd that go? Anything new or just going over?
We worked on a couple old new tunes. You know, there's tunes that you did a long time ago.
Right, right. You guys must have a pretty big set list that you actually know.
About 70. We try to keep it around 70 songs.
Wow.
Yeah. That's a lot of lyrics for Dan to remember.
I guess.
As you would know the whole lyric.
And does he have any, no problem at all with all that?
Well, there's issues if you don't do the song
for
often enough.
For a long time.
And that's the thing. There's songs that we know. We haven't done that tune. We know it, but, you know, the chords, the arrangement, everything. But let's play it so Dan can get the words back in his head again.
Yeah. Yeah. That's always going to be the.
Yeah. So, yeah, that was fun. Tons of fun. Right, it's on. Just a veritable orchestra of phones. Can someone please answer the phone in the house? Thank you. Jeez.
We have to close the office on Sunday mornings.
I know. Hey, boy. But anyway, anything going on with you this week?
I'll tell you, the ride out to the studio here really slows down when it drops down to 50 kilometers an hour. That last little stretch
just
feels like
here.
Forever. Yeah.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, they're stretching the 50 farther and farther out. But then there's other places that are so built up, and the houses are closer to the road, but it's 80 kilometers an hour. I don't understand the Can you just call and say, I want the speed limit open for my house to be slower, please?
Yeah, just in front of your house, you want it like 120.
I don't get it. I don't get it at all. But anyway, so you're not doing any work on screenwriting or rolling on Detroit?
Yeah, actually doing a lot of work.
Oh, you are doing a lot of work.
Keeping me pretty busy.
Yeah. Oh, that's good. I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah, a lot of it right now is like web writing and for advertising and for applications and crew calls and stuff like that. A lot of various things.
Gotcha. We're just sitting here. Anyway, this week it was just work for me. Mm-hmm. Nothing much going on, really.
Any downtime?
No, that's what I'm saying. It's a lot of work. Like, we're just going steady now, pretty much. I think we got out early a couple of days, but not by much.
Still just the Dodge and Chrysler minivan?
Volkswagens.
Oh, the Volkswagens are running.
Yep. And they're called what?
The Rangutan.
Yes, that's it.
What is it? The Rutan. Rootin' Rutan.
You got it.
Is it the Rutan?
Rutan,
yeah. Okay, and that is some type of sport utility slash van slash station wagon slash Jeep.
Slash of Guns and Roses.
Slasher. So what is it? Some kind of sport utility type?
It's a minivan.
Okay. Does it look like ours? Same body?
Same
interior?
Oh, no.
Same scratches on the rims? Or does that come pre-assembled from Germany? What's up with that anyway? Building Volkswagens from the German company. Meanwhile, we're owned by Italian Fiat now. What's up?
Who's we're?
We're. Hey, I'm a big part of that.
I think it's just a contract that Volkswagen signed with the then Cerberus owned Chrysler.
Right. Cerberus, Daimler, and everybody all had their hands in the pie.
I love my hands in my pie.
Cerberus is out of the picture totally?
I think they own 6% of Chrysler.
Okay. Does Daimler own anything?
No. Ooh, that's a good question. I don't know. I don't know if they sold off.
Yeah. Save it for the Chrysler show.
Chrysler. Let's not
Chrysler.
Do it. But this week you went and saw Joe Perry.
Joe Perry, yeah. Was very cool at Caesars Windsor.
Nice venue.
Very nice, actually. Yeah, I like the size of it.
Yeah, it's intimate, but not. It has a concert hall feel to it.
I'll say though, when if you're not seated on the main floor at all, and probably if you are at the back of main floor, taking pictures looks like a very far distance away. When you take a picture,
sure.
It looks like it's really far away the stage, but it's really not.
With a point and shoot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Gotta have good ones. Yeah, like you get a big zoom or whatever, but we went right down to the front of the stage. Atlanta went down to the front of the stage, leaned on the monitors, taking pictures. And then I went down there later, and we took some video and some pictures. Saw a lot of people I knew there, too.
I know you saw Steve DeCole there.
Saw Steve, yeah.
And there was another person guy who went to that show, too, didn't he?
Do you know Chris? He was a Stewart alternate. Chris Ropat?
Yeah,
he was there.
Yeah. That's not who I'm thinking.
George from Riverside Music was there. See my buddy Dennis there. John Drew. You know John Drew.
I know John Drew. Otherwise known as the original JD.
The original JD, of course. Me being Big JD.
He's Big JD. He's definitely
he's a little JD. He's lost a lot of weight. He looks good.
Lost a lot of weight.
Yeah, big time.
Well, so he's getting in. He's fitnessizing or something.
I don't know.
He wasn't a big guy.
No, but he's like super slim now. Yeah, pretty skinny, I would say.
All right.
But he looks good. He's of course works there.
Does he still work there?
At the casino, he does. Yeah.
He works at the casino.
What's it called? The Coliseum. Caesar's Coliseum.
Coliseum. Yes.
Yeah. Caesar's Windsor Coliseum.
But he doesn't work at Riverside anymore.
No. I think George said he drops in once in a while and does some things here and there. But no, I don't know what's up with Riverside Music. There's not much going on there these days.
Yeah.
It's rough. It's rough all over.
Every time I go
look at this hairdo.
Every time I go into McQuaid's, which was just the other day to buy that cable, there's always people in there. There's always credit cards on that counter when I walk in there.
Well, the thing about with them, I think, is that they're a dealer.
Well, I can get my drugs there.
Well, you probably could, but you know what I mean. They deal in national product, and you know what I mean. George is, I think he's had a few, you know what I mean. But McQuaid's,
he's lost a few.
You know, they carry all that, and they're the only place in Windsor that carries. There's the new place, House of Blues or Blues. On Howard there. They just opened one on the east side of Windsor, too.
What are you talking about?
On Howard, south of Eugenie. is a new music store. And it's not bad. It's pretty cool. They got some, you know, lots of stuff in there. And they opened a one on the east side of Windsor now as well.
South of Eugenie.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm going to have to check that out. Do you know the
big,
people?
Big House Blues, it's
big,
called.
Big House.
Yeah. So I had to stop in there, of course.
Of course.
Jeffrey David's Blues Connection.
Do you know the dudes, or?
No. No, I think they come from, I was told, construction. Miscotti or something like that, last name.
Oh, okay.
Father and son opened them up. And
sure.
I guess they do a lot of lessons, and they have a lot of equipment and stuff. Like, it's packed full of stuff.
Stuff?
Yeah,
like stuff. Junky stuff?
Or? Not really junky, but I mean, I don't know if they have really any big deal accounts or whatever, you know what I mean? But I don't know. You'd have to stop in and take a look. But
right.
Nice, though.
Yeah, the way the music store business works, it's rough. First, you got to get a line in, and you got to have a name in there of some kind other than just off brands.
Yeah. I also started shooting for the Bushman World Ukulele Video Contest 2009 video.
Started shooting.
Yeah, shooting the video.
Meanwhile, the person who won the video contest last year just opened up their laptop and played the ukulele.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I'm going for the corny this time, but it's still going to be done well. I'm not just going to do a crappy thing, no matter what happens. You know what I mean? I still get a nice, cool video.
That's your name on there, right?
Yeah, sure. Is,
well, then the people who win don't necessarily have a name for themselves, where you do have, you have many names for yourself. Yeah. Oh, there's Big JD. No, no, that's the guy from the Jeffrey David's Blues Connection.
Isn't that the Wicked Angel guitar player?
Exactly.
Okay.
Anyway.
So.
So you're done, or it's post-production now, or?
No, there's still a little bit of shooting to do, and it's got to be wrapped up within the next 4 weeks, though. Edited and everything. So.
Right. End of December. And you're going to put it in really close to the deadline this time, right?
Close to the deadline, yeah. I don't remember when I had it in last time. I think
soon
I got
as it opened,
early or
I think.
Something. Yeah. We'll wait it out a little bit this time.
I would wait it out, absolutely.
For the shock value.
Well.
And straight from the newsroom floor, and the walls, and the ceiling, it's time for news from around the world, and sometimes out of this world, from Big JD and Lippo. Let's head over to the newsroom.
Here we are in the Jabbercast newsroom. Air conditioning isn't on in this room, is it?
Air conditioning? Yeah, feels nice.
No, I'm just kidding. This room as compared to the room we were just in.
Oh, yeah, okay. So is there any news bigger than Heidi Klum being able to change her last name?
Yes, there is.
Is there?
Yeah. Oprah's okay. Quitting.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
See?
Moving on. Yeah, Oprah's quitting. Do you think she's going to have a talk show on her own TV network?
You know, that's a good question. I don't know if she's going to just... you know,
how she's really making it sound like she's done with what she's doing. So
yeah, 25 years, that's a pretty big legacy of shows. You know, she's done pretty much everything she can do unless she takes it in a different direction.
We should get her on for an interview.
Mm, yeah. Richest woman in America.
What?
Oprah Winfrey.
Yeah.
And I think the quit while you're ahead kind of thing, as far as just her show goes, I think she should now be mentoring, which we talked about mentoring before, other folks to get them up and going. And that's the kind of woman I think she is. You know, she wants to help other people now who have some talent to do their thing, either filmmaking, short stories, or talk show, whatever. I think she's going to... I think her network will probably end up being kick-ass.
Oh, I'm sure it will.
Can I say ass on the show?
No.
Oh, but darn, we're going to have to beep that out.
Beep.
Any other news? What did you say? Heidi Klum.
Heidi Klum. What's her? Is it an N or an M on the end of her name?
I want to say
I think it's an M.
All right, me too. So, and she wants to change it to an N?
Yeah. No. She wants to change it to whatever Seal's last name is, his real last name.
Why? They're married?
Well, yeah.
I didn't know
and
that.
I don't know why it was a big deal that she got a court okay for changing her last name. Like, what? Why wouldn't she get a court okay? Got something to do with, you know what I mean? She's got a citizenship, doesn't she? And all that stuff. She's been here for 1,000 years.
Right. I think it has to do with people with contracts with her can't come back and, you know, it's a legal thing she has to do, I'd have to think, because she signed so many contracts for certain obligations she has.
Yeah, I'm sure.
With so, her, yeah, so any...
Whoever signed, owns her.
Right. Whoever owns her via the
now
signature.
Now Seal owns her.
He seems to be like a nice man.
Was he part of Crofts?
Seals and Croft. That's Croft. Seal, not Seals.
Oh, he's a whole bunch of them.
I like Seals and Croft.
Yeah, yeah, cool stuff. And that was 70s, eh? Seals and Croft?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I was going to say, I was gonna ask you if you knew where they came from, because I know they come from other bands.
Oh,
at least one dude came from a really famous band.
Oh, yeah? What band? You don't know? Remember?
That's what I was going to ask you.
Who I really like is Sid and Marty Croft.
Marty Croft. That sounds
Sid and Marty Croft are brothers who had all those cool TV shows throughout the, I think, 70s and 80s. Maybe 60s, I don't know. But like Sigmund and the Sea Monsters and...
Oh, right, yeah.
All those
I remember that, yeah.
I think H.R. Puffin stuff and everything.
H.R. Puffin stuff.
You can't
get enough until you can't get enough. We don't know the words, but we know the melody, sort of.
Yep.
There's other news around. There's a lot.
I hope not.
Why?
We got a lot of ground to cover with our show today.
Oh, do we?
Well, we do, yeah. Look at last time. We had to cut the show in half.
We're going to take it. Next week's show is going to be 1965 to 1969.
Yeah. We're going to go all the way up to 2012, because that's the end.
There you go. Did you see the movie yet?
By the way, yes, I did. That movie's out, and quite some spectacular special effects in that film, I got to say.
Dan went and saw it, and he told me yesterday, went golfing, and he said that it seemed like they tried so hard to make the movie so that they can have a theme park with all the... It's like they put this certain effect in and this whole scene together, keeping in mind it's going to be a ride at a theme park, at like Universal Studios.
Never really thought about it, but...
That's the way... That's Dan's...
I honestly didn't... I mean, it was okay. I can't really say that it was... the special effects were really good, and the movie was pretty cool. It was a big production, you know, and I don't know. It was just a good story, you know what I mean? It wasn't.
It was a good story.
Yeah, well, it wasn't really the. It wasn't what I expected.
Oh, that's good. Two good things going for it right there.
Yeah, what I didn't expect it to be.
And it was a good story.
Well, yeah, but I mean, I was expecting it to be better. And I mean, the storyline to be more, I don't know. I don't, to me, it didn't seem like there was enough 2012 in it. You know what I mean? And the Mayans and the,
oh, I
you
see.
Know, it was just updated story thing in the end of the world kind of thing. You know what I mean?
Could have happened over in 2020, 2015.
Well, yeah, no, it would happen for the reason that,
whatever. They do, but, yeah, okay.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Everything's referenced to that and all the things that you know, the whole Yellowstone Park and all the, you know. But it was pretty cool, yeah.
Well, that's
it's good. A must-see for sure.
It's a must-see.
Yeah, it is a must-see.
All right, then we will go see it. My son saw it. Jonas went and saw it the night it came out.
You like it?
Yes, he did like it. Yeah.
Well, great special effects. That's, are really wild.
That's what they go for.
Yeah.
This Thursday is Thanksgiving in the United States of America. You celebrating?
Oh, cool. Yeah, well, of course.
You going to the football game?
No.
Watching football game at home?
Not even thinking football.
And what else do I want to say? A rare Charles Darwin book found on toilet bookshelf.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. An auction house says it is selling a rare first edition of Charles Darwin's On the Origin of Species, found in a family's guest lavatory in southern England.
And it's selling for how much, does it say?
Christie's Auction House said Sunday the book, one of about 1,250 copies first printed in 1859,
wow,
had been on a toilet bookshelf at the family's home in Oxford. The book will be auctioned on Tuesday, the 150th anniversary of the publication of the famous work. Christie said the book is likely to sell for it'll sell for around £60,000, which is about $100,000. Get that?
Yeah, lots of bread.
Yes, $100,000. So if you want a copy of Charles Darwin's controversial book, first printing, on with the topic of the show.
The 60s. Let me start by mentioning that, well, we have another part of the interview with TJ Rebert on the show today, who is somewhat of a 50s and 60s buff historian. And he comes to us from, he's a friend of the webmaster at loti.com, L-O-T-I, which is a 50s and 60s resource. Mostly 50s, really, but a lot of 60s stuff on there, too. And it's pretty cool. I was just checking out the link on the left side of the page that's to early 60s album covers. It's pretty cool. A lot of nostalgic stuff on there.
Yep, that's for sure.
And so I appreciate John hooking me up with TJ. And in the podcast of today's show, we're going to air about 6 minutes, I think, of the interview, which we aired about 9 minutes of last week on the 50s show. And the podcast this week, though, is going to contain the whole half-hour interview with him, which is really cool. A lot of good stuff in there.
So the whole interview has already been put up?
The whole interview is going to be put up in today's podcast.
All right.
Of this live show.
Okay.
In place of the 6 minutes that we air today.
Cool.
So, you'll want to check out lowtie.com.
Oh, Lord, stuck in Lowtie. No.
That's Lodi. Lodi. Which is in Chicago. Do you know where Lodi is? Illinois? Is it?
I don't know.
You know what I always thought that meant, though? I thought it was idle backwards.
It is.
Stuck in idle. You know what I mean? Stuck, like idle.
Yeah, but that's a different
not idle. Not moving?
That's a different idle.
Is it?
Yeah, I-D-L-E is... idle as in
not. Oh, that's right. It is, isn't it?
But I think there's a lot of Lodis. It's like Springfield.
It's a cool song, though. CCR. And CCR. That would have come out in either late 60s or early 70s. I'm going to say late 60s, maybe 68, 69. Yeah,
I would agree.
Stuck in old Lodi again.
Yep. Awesome.
Oh, by the way, I think John Fogerty's coming to the Caesars, isn't he?
He has not already been there?
I don't know.
Okay.
Maybe he was. Anyway.
Because so, I did hear that.
Yeah. Why don't we start by... Cheap Trick's coming, by the way.
Where?
February 2nd or 5th.
At the Caesars?
Yeah.
Oh, I got to go see that. Yeah. That's going to be good.
I think they had postponed.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay, I got to talk to my casino sources. Friends.
I was thinking of starting with the timeline again. Do you have a timeline like you had for the 50s?
I got several timelines.
Okay. Well, let's start with 1960.
Okay.
The halogen lamp was invented in 1960.
Halogen?
Yeah.
Powered with gas.
Mm-hmm.
Not natural gas. You don't have a fart sound on your...
Oh, soundboard. I don't know.
Bummer.
Hey, you made it funny. 1961?
No.
Oh, okay, what do you got?
Halogen lamps. That's all you're going to do for...
That's 19... all I got for 1960. Please. What do you got for 1960?
Alfred Hitchcock's movie Psycho was released.
Okay. Well, you have other... Yeah, I have some invention type stuff. You have things in the, like, you know, that...
Well, lasers came were invented out and went on. In 1960 as well, even though I thought we were...
Yeah, but that's got to do with lasers.
Okay.
So lasers were invented in 1960? Was that...
Yes, and the first...
Could have had my eyes done back then.
Yes, Dr. Tafor was just learning how to zap your eyes. First televised presidential debates, which is kind of interesting.
Mm-hmm.
How long that's been around.
Yeah.
That is from that timeline, and in this timeline, the first debate, the year NASA sent up ECHO, the first telecommunication satellite.
The first swine flu.
That's the first satellite they could see with your naked eye.
Mm-hmm.
And put some clothes on your eye, would you?
Okay.
That's in the 1960s also when the American U-2 spy plane was shot down over USSR. Remember the spy who got captured? No? And the Olympics were held in Rome, and Wilma Rudolph won 3 gold medals.
Wilma who? Flintstone?
Rudolph.
The red-nosed reindeer.
Yep.
Coming up.
That's where they got both of those names.
Both of them.
From Wilma.
1961. No?
Yeah.
You got some more. Valium was invented. And I recently went through a Valium thing. Boy, was it good.
You liked it?
Oh, did I ever.
Really?
Valium and Percocet, both at the same time.
Oh,
boom,
that's
from the hospital. And I was like in a laughing fit. All I have is a picture of it.
No video.
Me just roaring inside a Shopper's Drug Mart. No video. No, boy. I wish I had video of it because it was out of control. It was absolutely out of control. So anyway.
It was the combination of the two, though.
Oh, well, I guess so.
Volume by itself is just a downer.
Yeah, okay.
Literally.
I was way up. The non-dairy creamer was invented in 1961 as well, so.
You might laugh at something like that, but
I'm
like
not laughing. That's the biggest thing in the world.
Is that? But
everybody has it,
right?
Everybody's used it. Everybody wants it. Everybody has it. Everybody wants it. Everybody has it. For lack of a better,
it doesn't go bad. And the fact that you can make something that doesn't go bad back then was thought of as revolutionary.
Yeah, certainly. Anything for 61?
John F. K. Moves into the White House. He gave his famous speech. "Ask not what your country can do for you," which is, of course, his inaugural speech. And the Soviets had sent the first man into space, and that came in on May 5th, 1961. Also, Adolf Eichmann on trial in the role for the Holocaust as well. Bay of Pigs invasion with Khrushchev and no, it was Stalin. It was Khrushchev. And Kennedy, I forget. That's the year that also they built the Berlin Wall. Mm. And Peace Corps were founded in 1961. And that is it for 1961.
62 is pretty awesome. The audio cassette was invented in 1962. Now that's pretty cool. Audio cassette. Cassette tape.
But what was it? What
form? It was a tape. Audio cassette. It was a cassette with audio on it.
But what form was it?
I would imagine they're talking audio cassette like we know it as a cassette tape, music type tape.
Oh, so it wasn't the 8-track cassette.
Audio cassette. No, I think it would say 8-track, and maybe we'll come across that somewhere. I'm not sure. It says audio cassette, so I'm not 100% sure. Fiber tip pen invented. And Space War, the first computer game, was invented, 1962. And the Dow Corporation invents silicone breast implant. silicone breast implants.
Wow. That's 1962, eh?
Thank God for that, eh?
No, that's too bad that they actually did that. That kind of deformed so many women.
Well, yeah.
And is that really necessary? No. 1962 was the year that guitarist from King Friday was born.
Whoa.
That would be Mike LaPlante. And John Glenn, that's right. John Glenn became the first man to orbit the Earth 3 times. It was a 5-hour flight. Mm-hmm. What else happened in 1962? Andy Warhol exhibits his Campbell soup can.
Sweet.
Cuban Missile Crisis. Mm. Oh, which is different than the Bay of Pigs, which was the year before. A lot of stuff going on in Cuba.
My dad got out of the army just in time. He would have had to go to the Cuban Missile Crisis.
And he would have been in Guantanamo Bay.
Yeah.
Stationed there, probably. Mm-hmm. First person killed trying to cross the Berlin Wall, which was built the year before. Marilyn Monroe found dead in 1962.
From crossing the Berlin Wall, Marilyn Monroe?
Marilyn Monroe tried to cross the Berlin Wall, yeah. And that's about it for
1963. All I have is the video disc was invented.
First audio, now video.
Yeah.
And what? A video what?
Disc.
Video
Remember
disc.
The video discs?
Like,
you had a movie on it. It was like a big record album.
Yeah.
And you slid it into its player, and then you took it out and flipped it over and played the rest of the movie.
I'll bet you it was nothing like what we're thinking of.
What do you mean?
We're thinking of something that is like in the shape of a CD or a DVD, but much larger, right? Is that what you're thinking of?
It was a record album, vinyl.
Oh, so you're thinking, you are thinking of, okay. Mm-hmm.
That's what it was. That's what it is. I rented them.
That's what it is,
I worked at a place that rented those. People would come in and rent the movies and the players. And it used to be located inside Consumers Distributing Stores.
Wow.
It was a big thing for a while, boy. And McKay's used to sell them and everything. My dad had it. We had everything.
For like how long?
We had all that.
For like 6-7 months?
Yeah. I'm going to say it was probably about a year's thing or something like that. And then it ceased to exist because of the videotape or whatever.
How that stuff just comes out and leaves.
Anything?
Where are we at?
63.
JFK was assassinated.
Mm-hmm.
Bummer. And Martin Luther King makes his I Have a Dream speech.
I have a dream today.
That's all I got for 63.
64. We won't say who was born in 64. Acrylic paint invented.
Wow, they're doing a lot with oils, aren't they?
Mm-hmm. Permanent.
They're making creamer and they're making paint.
Yeah.
So far. Yes.
Permanent press fabric invented.
Permapress.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Permanent press. Basic, an early computer language, is invented by John George Kemeny and Tom Kurtz. Basic.
And what does BASIC stand
some,
for?
Some form of that is still going on today.
And what's BASIC stand for?
Simple.
Very good. The Beatles, a British rock and roll band, became very popular. they performed on the Ed Sullivan Show that year. Also, 1963 was the first year the cigarette boxes had a warning printed on it.
63,
saying,
we're on 64.
That's what I mean. Yeah, 64, okay. Sorry, I did say 63, but this is 1964, okay. Beatles, and also the warning on cigarettes saying smoking can be hazardous to your health. It had been non-occurred to the U.S. government to give the warning that smoking led to cancer and lung problems because they were getting paid by the tobacco companies. And the first civil rights bill was passed to stop racial discrimination.
Mm-hmm. 1965?
President Johnson ordered bombing raids on North Vietnam and Americans begin protesting the war. The world's first roofed stadium was built. Do you know what the first stadium that had a lid on it?
Coliseum, Windsor Casino.
No, a stadium where they play sporting events.
Pontiac Silverdome.
That was 1980, but this is the Houston Astrodome.
Houston Astrodome.
Yeah, that's it.
Got it.
You got it. What do you got for 65?
1965, AstroTurf was invented.
At the Houston Astrodome.
Oh, AstroTurf. That's what they used in nappy hair, isn't it? Oh, that's Brillo cream.
You're going to get AstroTurf. Kicked off the show for using that word.
Whoa, nappy. AstroTurf? Nappy. Wasn't that what it's called?
Isn't that what Imus got kicked off the radio for?
No, I don't know. Was he?
Yeah, called that basketball team that won the Tennessee girls basketball team.
Yeah.
He called them a bunch of nappy-headed hoes.
Wow, that's a little different than...
Just kidding.
Nappy hair is nappy hair. Tight, curled hair.
Tight!
Soft contact lenses invented, 1965. Very important. NutraSweet. There's some more artificial sweetener,
artificial
creamer stuff.
Yeah.
So that was a big thing, boy. NutraSweet.
People's coffee is getting... to last forever.
Yeah.
The guys in the spaceship said, we need some coffee with artificial creamer in it. And artificial sweetener.
No. Artificial coffee's coming up next, 2011. 10. The compact disc invented by James Russell.
Wow.
1965 compact disc.
He worked at Philips.
That's short for CD. Kevlar. Kevlar invented by Stephanie Louise Kwolek.
A chick Kevlar. Invented Kevlar?
Yep.
Wow.
You know, chicks, they always want to be warm.
Warm with Kevlar. And you can't shoot him either. You can't kill him anyway with a bullet.
Well, Kevlar, though, isn't that something to do with... that's what they use, though, for the rain repellent clothing and stuff.
Oh, that's probably Kevlar? What it is, yeah. It was probably a clothing thing, yeah.
Anything for 65? Did you do... Oh, you did 65. 66?
No, I didn't.
Oh, okay. 67.
Whoa.
What do you got for 65?
Japan's bullet train opens.
Oh,
that's a big thing, which yeah. I got in a big conversation this week about mass transit in North America, how we're so far behind. Mm-hmm. It's because of the infrastructure. We started an infrastructure of transportation so long ago. Now there's nothing new can move in because
that's right.
All those people who own the current infrastructure are paying off the people who would approve the new stuff. So no bullet train for you, Mr. North America. Los Angeles riots start. Malcolm X assassinated. Mm. It sounded like... a lot of civil unrest was brewing in the mid-60s in the United States anyway. New York mm-hmm. City's great blackout happened, and U.S. sends troops to Vietnam.
Yep. 1966 electronic fuel injection for cars invented.
We're not going to break it up? Do you want to break it up and do something else?
We're almost done. If we can get through this right now, then we'll break it up, and we're going to come back with some 60s slang stuff.
Okay.
And whatever else
sure.
you have.
All right.
66, electronic fuel injection. Anything to add to 66?
Oh, we know what we were doing. You were giving one, then I was giving one. That's what we did last year, by the way. Anyway, last week, I should say.
Last year. Giving one what?
A piece from a year.
Oh, okay.
I see.
Okay.
Walt Disney, the creative Mickey Mouse, died of cancer on December 15th, 1966.
Wow.
What else you got?
Nothing for 66.
Oh, really?
67.
Black Panther Party established. Mm. Mass draft protests in U.S. and Star Trek, the TV series airs.
Awesome.
Star Trek with, what's his name? James Kirk.
James Kirk, Spock, Dr. McCoy. 67. The first handheld calculator invented, 1967. And there it is, boy. We're on our way from there.
That's right. Technology. Next thing you know, we're doing podcasts.
What do you got for 67?
Che Guevara got killed. Mm-hmm. First heart transplant. First Super Bowl.
And the first heart transplant was because of the NutraSweet and the coffee creamer. Creamer.
6-day war in the Middle East. Stalin's daughter defects. And 3 U.S. astronauts killed during simulated launch. Hmm. Bummer. 1968.
Listen to this. Computer mouse was invented by Douglas Engelbart. Computer mouse. So they had the computer before that and some software and the first game developed and everything. And all they could do is just look at the screen. You can't do anything. We don't have a mouse. We just watch. No interaction.
They had keyboards, buddy.
Okay. And the first computer with integrated circuits was made. And Robert Dennard invented RAM.
Really?
Yeah. Wow. So that's a lot of computers. See, from the calculator, it really took off. What exactly. Do you got for 68?
Martin Luther King assassinated.
Mm-hmm. Sad day.
And then JFK's brother, Robert, was assassinated in Chicago. Mm-hmm. And 1967, the first heart transplant was formed by Christian Barnard in Cape Town, South Africa.
1969. That was a good year. The ARPANET, first internet.
Oh, ARPANET.
ARPANET?
It's
just P-A-N-E-T.
Yeah.
ARPANET.
Oh, ARPANET. Okay.
I don't know, but it's the first internet that was invented. The artificial heart was invented.
For the guy who
so had... they did the first heart surgery, and they just left him open until 69 so they could actually put an artificial one in. The ATM was invented.
Wow.
I guess they had to wait till then so he could pay for it. And the barcode scanner was invented.
Bar what?
Barcode scanner.
You said barcode.
Did I say barcode?
I think you did.
Let's I don't know when that was invented, but the barcode was invented in 69. Barcode,
I just realized that.
Is it something?
Well, it's a barcode.
Oh, that's right. See, I don't know those things. Barcode.
Nearly 500,000 people headed over to the 600-acre farm in New York for the Woodstock Festival.
That's right.
1969. And July 20th, 1969, one of the biggest events in history happening. Apollo 11 landed on the moon with the astronauts Neil Armstrong, famous speech for the historical steps. That's one small step for man and one giant leap for mankind.
And we're going to take a nice leap right now into an interview with TJ Rebert.
This is Mike from Mike on the Mic, and you're listening to Big JD and Lippo on the Jabbercast.
It's time for an interview with Big JD. For more Big JD, visit BigJD.com or visit YouTalkinToMe.ca. That's the letter U, talking, the number 2, me, YouTalkinToMe.ca.
Today I'm talking to TJ Rebert, who is somewhat of an expert on the 50s and 60s. He's got a lot of fond memories to share of those times. Now, you come to us from webmaster John Kelly, who does the, now is it pronounced Loti, L-O-T-I.com?
Yes.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Which is a 50s and 60s resource, and an excellent resource, I must add. TJ's big on the 50s and 60s. We're just kind of going to go through a list of different things, and I guess just tell us what comes to mind. Let's talk about a little bit about racism first, because there was a lot of different things going on through those eras.
Oh, yeah. Well, I was from a neighborhood where there were no blacks. The town I lived in had none, and the high school I went to, there was only 84 of us in the high school class, and we had one black guy, and his name was Snowball. So,
wow,
we didn't have a lot of racism problems. I mean, you heard about it all, and I really didn't get oriented to that till I went into the military in the early 60s, and then the racism sort of reared its ugly head, but. In me growing up, in the town I was where I was growing up, there wasn't any of it.
Mm-hmm. How about you mentioned when you're in the service and that and war post World Wars and then you know the things that went on in the 60s and you were Navy.
Yeah, I went in the Navy in 62, Uh-huh. And that was before Vietnam, went into Naval Air. And like I say, that's where I got my first dose of racism and first dose of real reality of life. And it was pretty good. When Vietnam started, I did my last tour over there. But when Vietnam started, the change of military, they sort of looked down on us a bit. But I never really had any problems with that either. The anti-war thing went through the 60s, and that got real big. I liked that kind of music, but I didn't like the idea because I was in the military at the time. I was Naval Air.
Right.
So.
And what, did you get into the service like as soon as you could, or were you?
Yeah, I really didn't know what I wanted to do, and I got a couple little jams back then, and I figured, boy, if I don't do something, I'm going to be in real deep. So I walked into one recruiter's office, and he told me I'd be a man, I'd be a Marine, and I'd do all this. And I walked in the other, and they said, you can go to school, and you can work in what you like to do. And that was mechanical things for me. Mm-hmm. So I went back and told the first guy, I just joined the Navy. Went home, told Mom, and left the next day. It was one of them quick deals.
Wow, yeah. And, I mean, you would have been how old when you – were you 18 or something when you
– I was 18, yeah.
Okay.
I went in, and I turned 18, and – in June, I went in October, but I just had no direction. I was out of high school, didn't know what I wanted to do, and figured, geez, if I keep this up, I'm going to be off the end of the chart somewhere. You know, that was the start of the drug era and a lot of grass and a lot of this and that, and I just didn't want to get into that, so I went in the military.
And was there much of that in the military, actually, or?
No. You know, back then, there was none of it in the military. That was more the hippie style people. They were the grass smokers. It was sort of its own little cult back then.
Right.
Then it grew to the rest of the world. But I knew that if I kept on the track I wasn't going to get anywhere because mm-hmm. I didn't know what I wanted to do. I come from a family that was my father was a doctor and I had a couple brothers that were doctors, but I had no desire to do that. Didn't want to go to school, so I went off in the other direction. I was like the black sheep of the family there, I guess.
But, and
They still love me, I guess.
And how long were you in for?
4 years and 4 months.
Okay.
They extended me. I got out right as the Vietnam was starting, and in late '66, I got out.
Mm-hmm.
So I actually got out of the military in, I was supposed to get out in October of 66, but it extended because of Vietnam.
Now, with the Vietnam War, I mean, were you active in any way of, you know, obviously you probably supported...
Well, yeah, I supported
degree,
it because
you know,
I didn't support the idea, but
right,
what I support is if there's troops somewhere, you got to support them. You
exactly.
might not like why they're there, just like today.
Yeah.
I don't like why we're over there, but when you have your people over there, you got to support them people. You can't be bad-mouthing them. And back then, there was a lot more support. The actors and the people were sort of supportive in the beginning.
Right.
And then it went away when the peace movement came in. That all went away. But it was an experience. When I got out of the military, you know, I was pretty proud of it. And then by that time, the peace movement was really in
mm-hmm.
early 67. And you were looked down on like you were some kind of a... I flew mail and cargo on and off of aircraft carriers.
Okay.
I wasn't shooting children. I wasn't tearing up the countryside. I wasn't bombing people. But I was support on an aircraft carrier. And,
right.
Our job was to fly mail and cargo and parts and all that stuff. So back then, we were flying from Subic Bay out to the carriers and then Da Nang back to the carrier. And in Subic Bay, we just keep making that same run back and forth.
Now, you mentioned a little earlier about school, being in school. How was school through the 50s and 60s, and how did it maybe differ between the two? You'd have been a pretty young kid, I guess.
But back 50. Then you didn't give teachers a bunch of crap, and you dressed the way that you were supposed to dress, and if you stepped out of line, they whack you. I mean, they had their big old ruler, they whack you across the hands. I got whacked a lot of times, let me tell you. And I got sent to the principal's office and sat on that bench many a time, also. But back then, you knew the discipline was going to come at home. Because if they sent a note home that you were in trouble in school, man, old Mom got the cat and nine tails out and put it on your butt, and that wasn't child abuse. That was just you knew what you did wrong, and you were going to get a little punishment for it. And now they just assume tell an instructor to get bent and
yeah.
get away with it, you know. There was a lot more discipline back then, let's put it that way.
And you lead right into something else I wanted to ask you about was parents. You know, what comes to mind? I mean, you know, what parents might be like today, what you know of parenting today as opposed to, you know, back then?
I think a lot of times the parents don't know what the kids are doing. I think it comes from the parents from then were brought up in a pretty liberal time. Mm-hmm. So they look at their kids and say, well, I'll let the kid do what it has to do, and they don't want to do the discipline. I don't know if they're afraid to discipline their kids or they just don't want to know what their kids are doing. But I taught in a vocational school for 12 years from 68 until 1980. Mm-hmm. And the parents had no clue what their kids were doing. They'd come in for a parent night, if they would come in, and you tell the parents that, hey, you know, the kid can't play with drugs like this. If he's going to get high, he can't come to school. And the parent would look at you like you're crazy because they didn't want to know their kids were doing it. And then you grab Johnny and say, well, Johnny, you know, tell Mom, you doing any drugs? And the parents are standing there looking stupid. I think the parents got to open their eyes up. They can see what's going on. They just don't want to know it.
Yeah, I wonder if a lot of that could be attributed to the, you know, the plethora of things there are to do these days as opposed to back then, you know, pastimes and, you know, that kind of thing. So
there was no such thing as a video game or a cell phone. You didn't do that. You, I mean, you played Monopoly. You went out in the garage and worked on your cars. You played a couple of high school sports. They got a lot more sports than they had then. Our school had baseball, football, basketball. That was it. You know, but now there's all kind of things for them to do, and I guess the kids. I attribute a couple things to the kids the way some of them are today, and they can be right. But I attribute it to video games. By the time the child's 10 or 12 years old, they've killed 100,000 people on their video games. So now if they have a problem with somebody, they blow them away like they did on the video game.
Yeah.
And the other one, and I know it's a vicious circle, but there was no such thing as child care back then. I mean, the parents raised their children at home. Now everybody's got to work 2 and 3 jobs to make the end meet, and the parents don't. The child care people, whoever you're sending your child to for child care, they're raising the children. So you don't grow up in the way of your parents. You grow up in the way of the child care provider. So I'm not a big fan of video games, especially the violent ones.
Yeah.
I know they got a right and all that stuff. Maybe I don't believe in their right to be able to do that kind of stuff. So I'm not a video game fan, and I'm not a fan of, I think you ought to at least raise your children until they get to school.
Sure.
And get them formed in your way other than the other way. Back then, I mean, your parents raised you, period. You knew your parents were raising you. It wasn't, I wonder who's in charge here. It was your parents.
Right.
Their mom or dad.
Let's talk a little more about entertainment. Radio, television, were some of the things that come to mind then. And
my first concert I went to was the Airport Drive-In Theater, because they didn't have concerts like they have today. Mm-hmm. I mean, you didn't have the big venues, but it was the old drive-in theater up near the Philadelphia Airport, and Jerry Lee Lewis was the first guy I ever saw.
Okay.
And him and... what was the other guy's name? They called him Bill Haley and the Comets. They were they were together. And Bill Haley was right here from the town I grew up in.
Uh-huh.
So he was like the opening guy for Jerry Lee Lewis. And music back then was a lot different. You could understand every word of every song, regardless if it was a fast song or a slow song.
Right.
And the words sort of had a meaning. And, you know, during the 60s, the meaning a lot of times with Dylan and a lot of the singers back then, Bob Dylan, was anti-war in that sentiment, but it had a story
political.
Behind it.
Mm-hmm.
You might not have agreed with the story behind the song, but, you know, you could understand it. I can't understand the music now.
I'm
an old guy.
I mean, it was the times back then, so, you know, I guess what was going on is, and that's musicians tend to deal with a lot of that stuff, and now I guess, yeah, you're right. It's changed quite a bit.
Back then, you had Tommy Edwards, and you had the Platters, and there were songs that had real stories, and you had a girlfriend, and them songs. I hear them today, and you can still think about the girl you dated back then. You know,
yeah, bring back those memories.
There's a million memories in them songs. I'm an oldies fan. I like the oldies, and I play them all the time. I do a lot of traveling, so put in a. an 8-pack of CDs and let them play for 12 hours, you know, with no problem.
Yeah. Were you in the dances at all back then? Or
Bandstand was here in Philadelphia. See, my town is right near Philadelphia, so we used to be able to take off one day every month and go to Bandstand. The school would allow you to do it. That was a thing.
And oh, wow, okay.
The beginning of Bandstand was Bob Horn, and then Dick Clark didn't come until a little later. Bob Horn got himself in a jam, and Dick Clark took over Bandstand. But, yeah, we used to go up there. Justine Carelli, she was always there, and Roe. Bandstand, that's only, you know, that's 5 miles from my house.
Mm-hmm.
So we'd go up and do that, and all the stars, they'd you know, make these appearances on Bandstand, all the singers of the day. So you got to see everybody, Frankie Avalon and all of the groups would come on. Dick Clark would have them on, and we'd go up there and just dance. I mean, there weren't as many dances as there are now. You had the jitterbug, and there was slow dancing, and the stroll, and the strand, and a few things like that.
Mm-hmm.
The Bristol Stomp. they were good times. And the school allowed you to do that. You know, like I say, you were allowed to take one. I think it was a Tuesday that we were allowed to take off and take the bus up to Broad Street and go to Bandstand.
Sounds like a blast.
Nah, it was. It was different for sure now. And there was never a fight. There was never, ever a fight. Now if they had that, there would be either a racial thing going on or
sure.
Something going on where you'd be a drive-by shooting or a stabbing or they blow the place up. But you never heard of that back then. Hey, once in a while you stepped on somebody's toes because you danced with the wrong girl and had a few words, but that was about the end of it, you know?
Yeah.
A few punches and it was done. Now knives and guns come out. So.
And I want to talk a little bit about restaurants and the drive-in restaurants and stuff.
Oh, yeah. Well, see.
Because that's some cool stuff.
I was always a car person.
Yeah.
So around here, there were 4 or 5 places to go. If you were in Chester, you went to Big Mo's, and that was a drive-in theater where the girls had the roller skates. And that's where you'd find your races. All the other guys with their hot cars and their hot rods would come in, and then you'd negotiate the races.
Mm-hmm.
And what was near that was Interstate 95. They were building the interstate. And there were 2 green signs that were a quarter mile apart. So we'd go from Big Mo's, we'd set up some races, and we'd go out onto the interstate where they were building it, and we'd race from green sign to green sign. And then the next town over was Springfield, and they had a place called Scotty's. And there was a little town down the road a ways called Ridley Park. They had a place called The Mug,
mm-hmm.
and they had 2 there. They had The Mug and they had The Chubby Pig. And they were all drive-ins, and some of them had the girls on roller skates, and some of them just walked out. You'd pull in under the canopy, order your stuff. They'd hang a little tray on your window.
Right.
And you'd walk around and yell over to the next guy of who was running good. And set up the races, and then the whole place would just clear out. It would go from full... Oh, there's going to be a race. We're going down to the bypass. So everybody would go out and they'd line up along the road, just like the old movies had it. That was the real thing. And there was the cool guys, and then there was the nerds, and the nerds were always out to watch the races and hook up with the cool guys. You know,
wow.
He had the fast cars. He had 49 Fords. And
what were you driving?
Well, back then I had a 49 Ford. It was a flathead.
Mm-hmm.
And there was the 56 Fords were good. The Oldsmobiles were fast. They were heavy, but the Rocket 88s were a pretty heavy thing. And the Chevys really didn't come in yet. See, Chevy didn't make a V8 until 55.
Uh-huh.
Then when that Chevy engine came out, then everybody had to redo our stuff. But I had a 49 Ford, and then I put a Buick engine in it. I was Buick powered. And I made them look original from the outside, but you had a lot of power under the hood, and I always did pretty well with that. That's how I got started in drag racing,
uh-huh.
Street racing.
And do you do that now? Any racing or?
Oh yeah.
The
car is called Poverty Stricken,
mm-hmm.
and all the Poverty Stricken car. We started racing seriously in 1969.
Okay.
And we ran what they call Alderds, and we ran Bantam bodies and 23T bodies, and we went to funny cars, alcohol funny cars.
Yep.
And right now we run a nostalgia funny car, a nostalgia fuel funny car called Poverty Stricken, and mm-hmm. we run an A-fuel dragster. So, but back then, if you spent in the '60s, $1,000 a year, you had a pretty competitive car.
Mm-hmm.
And then when we got serious and stopped the street racing and went to drag racing, I mean, if we spent $5,000 a year, you were somebody then. Now, if you spend $100,000 a year, you're because you're not doing anything. You're wasting your time.
Now, especially with racing and stuff, how did you find the relationship with gas prices then as, you know, they are now, obviously?
I laugh. We were talking about this the other day. There was a little gas station called Mako's Esso. That went to Exxon. And they used to have what they called gas wars back then. The one station would drop a penny, and the other station would drop a penny, and they'd go back and forth on the corners. And I can remember gas at 17 cents a gallon. Now, you know, that
wow.
You say they can't sell gas for 17. Yeah, it was. It was normal. Here's a normal thing. When you went to get gas, here's what you said to the gas guy, because you didn't pump your own. You pulled up with a bunch of guys in your car, and you say, give me a dollar's worth.
Yep.
That's how you ordered your gas. Give me a dollar's worth.
Mm-hmm.
And the kid would pump a dollar's worth in, which would be, you know, under normal conditions, would be about 4 gallons. And that would let you cruise the whole night. You'd have a back seat full of guys and a couple of girls. And you'd go to all the different hangouts. You'd go to Big Mo, and you'd go to the Chubby Pig, and you'd down in Upper Darby, there was a place called the Hot Shops. And you'd hit to all them places, and you did that on a dollar's worth. That was the normal. You never filled it up. Give me a dollar's worth.
Yeah.
Everybody, who's got some money? I got 30 cents. I got 70 cents. I got 25 cents. You throw it all in, get a dollar's worth, and off you go. But 17 is the cheapest I ever remember. And when it went to a dollar, oh, my God, that was much, much later than the 50s and 60s when it went to a dollar.
Yeah, yeah.
So 50 cents a gallon, it stayed for a long, long time.
Before we move on, do you have a website or anything for what you do, racing-wise or anything like that?
Yeah, it's under development. I do a lot on eBay, 9-inch Fords, and my website is 8 and 9-inch Fords, 8 and 9-inch Ford Rears.com.
The number 8 and 9?
The number 8, the word, and 9-inch Ford Rears.com. But it's only I only have the opening page. In fact, John Kelly is developing the website for me, but he got busy and I got busy. So I wanted it to be an informational website, not a sales website. I got enough sales.
Right, yeah.
I'm over 330 of these units so far this year.
You going to have some of your racing stuff up there? I mean, your you know, any old pictures or anything like
No nostalgia pictures, none of that.
Yeah.
I have a bunch of nostalgia pictures, and
yeah.
And I never owned a camera. Other people give me the pictures. I was never a camera person. But I got a bunch of them in my mind, that's for sure. I got a lot of collages of pictures that people put together for me.
Yeah, it sounds like you've got a lot of fond memories. How about the clothing back then? What were you guys
wearing? If you go back into the 50s,
yeah.
the 50s were pretty. First, when I was young, my mother made all my clothes.
Wow.
But then that wasn't cool, you know, you had to keep up with the rest of the people.
Right.
Back then it was pegged pants. It wasn't bell bottoms. Bell bottoms wasn't until the 60s.
Mm-hmm.
But pegged pants was you'd get the ankle of your pants cut down to about 13 inches, and you could hardly get your damn foot through it. Sometimes you even put zippers on the side of your ankles. It was pegged pants, and it was wide lapel jackets, and later was Nehru jackets. It was a different deal. You had shoes that were called flag flyers. They had a flipper in the front. Instead of having to lace it,
right?
They weren't a docker, the dockside type shoe. You'd put your foot in and you'd flip this flap up over the tongue, and it had two little runners that would come up and tighten your shoe.
Wow!
They were flag flyers. it was a little different. Penny loafers were the thing back then. The girls would wear their white and black shoes. Dresses were, that was before the miniskirt thing. The dresses were big fluffy dresses. When you went to a prom back then, she filled the whole front seat of the car with a dress. that was before the mini dress era, you know. It was all cover everything up, you know. And you had about 49 petticoats underneath the thing. You had to really hustle to find out what was under there, you know. By the time you got there, you couldn't find your way back out.
How about hair? I'm not talking about the dresses now. I'm talking about
hair. No, not that. Hair was ducktails. I mean, you wore your hair. You sort of greased your hair up a bit.
We're talking about the 50s here, right?
The 50s, and you sort of had your hair greased up a bit, and you used Vitalis or Brill cream was the stuff.
Yeah.
And you combed it back like a duck's butt, and that was called a ducktail. And the front of the hair sort of had a high pompadour in the front of it. I look at them pictures back then, and you sort of laugh. I I wasn't much into the hairstyle because I was always in the garage. Well, I always had a garage next to my house, so
yeah.
The long hair was always dirty for me. Mm-hmm. So, but the real style was you wore your hair in a ducktail, combed it back on both sides to like a crack in the back, and flipped the front of it up, the pompadour up.
Now, what about you see some of the guys wore like a little curl kind of in the front on the forehead. You know what I mean?
Well,
like
what's that? That came from Bill Haley in the Comets.
Okay.
See, they say, you'll have people say he was the start of rock and roll.
Yeah.
And he was a pretty tall guy, and he had this curl that hung down in the front, and that's where that curl all came from was Bill Haley.
Okay.
And he had a little band. One guy had a bass, and they had a drummer, and they had whatever. And he was the singer, and that's where that thing came from, Bill Haley. And then everybody wanted to, you know, just like when the Beatles came in the 60s, long hair wasn't long hair like that. Mm-hmm. They come out with that hair down past their ears, and everybody looked at that when it first come out, and they got on to Ed Sullivan's show, and what the hell's that kind of hair? What are they? And then all the older people, oh, that's terrible.
Yeah.
Well, then that trend caught on. But before the long hair of the 60s, it was the ducktails in the 50s.
Mm-hmm. And what about when you got out of the Navy, did you have long hair after that, or did you keep your hair like...
No, I kept my hair short. See, I always worked in automotive shops. It was mm-hmm. automotive all the time for me, so I was sort of out of trend with the hair.
Yeah.
Everybody had their longer hair and their ducktails and grew it longer. That wasn't me because I had, you know, I was working underneath cars all the time and I was dirty, so you... By need for me, I kept my hair short.
Yeah. Do you have, is one of the eras your favorite, the 50s or 60s?
Probably the late 50s.
Yeah.
The high school days was 58 to 62.
Mm-hmm.
So you really enjoyed them high school days. You had some girls that you met, and they taught you what life was about, or you taught them, or we taught each other, or we found out what it was all about.
Yeah.
So that was really good times. You can remember the girls you dated, and when you run into them now, you look at them, you go, yo, what the hell was that all about? You know? In fact, there was one. I dated a girl one time. I was in the Navy, so the 60s were pretty good, too, but I was in the Navy and out with a couple buddies of mine, and many, many years later, I had this guy walk up to me, and he says, I'm your son. He called me, actually.
Oh.
He said, I believe I'm your son. I said, what the hell are you talking about? We've got to talk. And when I met him, it was like looking in a mirror, and he is a son of mine. You know, I'm in contact with him all the time now. But he was 27 years old, and wanting to know his background. But back then, like I say, it was sex, drugs, and rock and roll, and I missed the drugs. So, you know, here's a son pops up when he's 27 years old, and he's a good kid now. He's not a kid anymore. He's 43 years old.
Okay, yeah.
Well, we keep in contact with each other all the time. I had to go hunt his mother down. He knew his mother. His mother put him up for adoption when he was right after he was born. He was in contact with his mother for many years.
Uh-huh.
And then he wanted to... The reason he was really hunting for me, he wanted to know if there was any mental problems in the family.
Oh, yeah,
there's plenty of them. But
were you in contact with his mother afterwards, like once he contacted you again or no?
Yeah, after he contacted me. I only knew her one day. I mean, we were at the York Fair in York, Pennsylvania. We were home on leave and went to the York Fair, and that's how it was back then.
Those Navy guys.
Oh, yeah. Old Navy
the sailors.
Well, back then, you didn't have any worries like today, you know?
Yeah,
the most you'd get is, you know... crabs or something like that, you know. But now, man, you got to be careful. Back then, it was, hey, man.
Yeah, you really can't do that now.
Sex is a normal thing. If it moved, you jumped on it, you know. And it was, you know, we all agreed that was a good thing to do. But now you got to be careful. You know, that's part of the game. You know, they found some new diseases.
The times certainly have changed.
Oh, haven't they ever? You know?
Well, we can't top that story about you finding out about the son that you didn't know you had. So
I had no clue. I mean, she never told me. And then I went and asked her. I said, why don't you tell me? Well, you know, I didn't think you wanted to know. But that was the thing back then. I mean, when I went to the Woodstock reunion in 92,
mm-hmm.
there was all kinds of stories. It was mostly the storytelling of the old. I didn't go to the original Woodstock.
Right.
But that was sort of anti-war, more the anti-war theme, and mm-hmm. I wasn't into that, and I was just out of the Navy, and you know, I guess I was falling in love and getting married and getting unmarried too.
Yeah.
But I went up to the one in 92, back up to Socrates, New York is where it is, right on the interstate there.
Right, yep.
And boy, there was a lot of stories up there, let me tell you. That was a lot of fun. The music was a little different, but you know, there was still some good stuff. But back in our days, they didn't have when I walked in, Nine Inch Nails was playing in 92.
Oh, yeah.
They wouldn't have had no Nine Inch Nails or Red Hot Chili Pepper back then, you know. It was a different time for sure.
Well, I really appreciate you taking the time to talk to us here on the Jabbercast, TJ. It's been a lot of fun, and I really appreciate you sharing all your memories.
Oh, I got plenty of them. I appreciate you giving me a call. Maybe I can give a few laughs to somebody out there.
All right, great. Thanks.
Take care.
You just listened to another interview with Big JD. For more Big JD, visit BigJD.com or visit YouTalkingToMe.ca. That's the letter U, talking the number 2, me, youtalkingtome.ca.
This is Big JD's grandma, and you're listening to the Jabbercast with Big JD and Lippo.
Sunday Morning Music Mayhem, a weekly tune that we think you'll dig. Brought to you by Big JD's Rare Rock and Heavy Metal Show at BigJD.com and by the Border City Radio Podcast at BorderCityRadio.com.
Lippo's week for a tune. What do you got for us?
Well, the 60s, when I think of music, there was always music playing in our house. I remember back in Detroit in the 60s when I lived there. And we had one of those little record players with the speaker in it. And we had, you know, the deal that you could put like 20 singles on there. But there was two singles that I remember a lot that I played up myself. That I just played them over and over and over again. And one of them...
What was the one that we're not playing?
Michelle from the Beatles.
Oh, my bad.
Yeah. And the other one is a band from Youngstown, Ohio. They're called The Human Beings. And that's a B-E-I-N-Z. It's a tune everybody's heard. It's called Nobody But Me.
Speaking of oil, need a little oil there. That's Nobody But Me.
Do you remember that too?
Beans. Yes, I do, of course. Yeah.
Yeah, I remember the 45. I remember what it looked like. I wish I could remember what the B side was.
Ooh. That would be nice.
But that was a huge tune in the 60s.
Do you want to try and fly through some slang before we... because we have Tech Talk and we also have the Jabber Quote.
Fly through some slang.
Yeah, because some of the slang... And I don't know if we got... Did we get to any... Yeah, we did do some slang from the
50s. We did some 50s slang, yeah.
A gas. A lot of fun. Oh, that's a gas. All show and no go came from the 60s.
All show, no go.
That's reference to a car that had all the pretty chrome goodies but wouldn't get out of its own way.
Wow, nice.
Ape, go, gone, or went. To explode or go completely irate, like go crazy. Oh, he went ape.
Nice. I remember that.
Bad, meaning awesome. Wow, that's bad, man. Or
sure.
Badass, a tough guy.
Said it again.
Bag.
It's not my bag, man.
That's to steal.
What?
Who bagged my towel, man?
Oh, really?
Like, who stole? Yeah.
Oh, it has nothing to do with that.
Or, what's your bag? Is that what you were thinking, maybe? Hey, what's your bag, man?
Yeah.
You know, like, what's your problem or where are you coming from kind of thing? Ball.
Ooh.
To party, as in Little Richard's, good golly, Miss Molly.
Oh. I thought it meant something else.
Show like to ball. Oh, okay, yeah. Later it meant having intercourse. If that's what you meant.
That's what I meant.
Bean wagon.
Nope, never.
A Lord all the way around, usually Hispanic-owned Chevy, but could be anything. Bean wagon. I guess that comes from the Beaner name. Beaners. You know, Cheech and Chong, Beaners, Mexicans,
well, exactly.
Or Hispanics.
That's what Cheech drove.
Let's see what else we can find on here. Bitchin'. Good, exciting, or awesome. Blast, a great time. That's a blast, man. Blew the doors off. Easily beat the other car in a race. It's all about racing, man, back then. 50s and 60s.
Muscle cars, for sure.
And TJ talks a lot about that in his interview.
He's heavy on the car scene, for sure.
Big time, yeah. And you know what? I'd have to go back and listen, and I'll make sure I get a link up for... He's got a website because he has sells auto parts of some kind. So, Bogart, to hog something.
We use that... All the
no,
time.
You don't.
Yes.
Boneyard. Auto wrecking yard.
What would they be hogging anyway?
I don't know. Joints.
Exactly. Don't bogart the doobies.
Bread was money. Brew or brewski was beer.
Brewskis.
What else we got here? Bug out. Leave the premises. Bummer. Depressing. That's a bummer.
Some of these stick around, man.
Oh,
I,
yeah.
I still use bummer.
Cat. A guy. Hey, he's a cool cat. Chick was a girl or a woman. Still is today.
Yeah.
Look at all the chicks. Church key. Before pop tops, beer or soda can was opened with one of these. They call them a church key, but it's the pointed.
Yeah, you stick your thing in and then you
can opener type thing or whatever. I guess we call them can opener.
Well, there was the cans that had the thing that was meant for a church key to stick in it, and then you rolled it back.
Oh, right. Like ham was. Or still is. You can get ham like that.
The church keys are built in, yeah.
Cooties. Someone who wasn't cool had them. No one ever saw them, but you knew who had them.
That's how I got the name Lippo.
What? What do you
mean? From cooties. I didn't have my cootie protection on my hand. The chick had cooties. I ran out of her way, and I tripped over the cord and flipped and somersaulted, knocked myself out. They called me Flippo for 2 days, and then after that, I was known as Lippo.
I thought I had something. Did you hit your face or something? Hit your mouth? No?
No, my mouth had nothing to do with it. It's just that Lippo was more... goofier sounding, or you know, than Flippo. Flippo was like a clown name, whereas Lippo
was a good clown name. Actually, Lippo would be a good clown name too. Daddy-o
has too much connotation of other things in it, I think.
Right,
Lippo. But anyway, go ahead.
Actually, a 50s term for man was daddy-o. What else? Decked, a term used to indicate a trunk handled that the trunk handle had been removed and the holes filled.
And what they call that?
Decked.
Oh, your car's been decked.
Yeah, and then decked out was dressed up. Deuce. We talked about that before on the show. And why did we? Remember we were talking about old names or cars or something? A 32 Ford, as in, she's my little deuce coupe. And you know what I like.
That's what the deuce was back then?
Yeah.
Because a deuce, of course, now is hanging a poop.
It is?
Yeah.
Okay.
Going number two. Deuce. Go hang a deuce.
I guess F and A came from the 60s.
F and A?
Simply the vulgar term of I concur. F and A. Give me some skin.
Is that
shake
F
hands.
And A or F and A?
I don't know.
Okay.
F in A. F-U-C-K-I-N-A.
Okay.
Give me some skin, shake hands, and gone. Meaning cool, groovy, neat, neato, instead of a person, as in he's a real gone cat.
Hmm.
He's gone, man. Gone. Anything else you can slap in here real quick? Hip was very cool. Hep with it. A person who understands the situation. Hey, he's hep, man. He's
the hep cats.
The hep cats. What a great name for a hard rock and 50s band. Ready to put it together? That would be cool. The hep cats.
It's been done.
Oh, yeah? Well, you do it again.
Do it again one more time.
So let's move on to Tech Talk. Tech Talk.
Tech Talk with Big JD and Lippo, keeping you up to date with innovation, technology, gadgets, and more. Computers, TV, radio, and stringing cans. We cover it all.
Yeah, that's right. It's hep. So what do you got for Tech Talk this week? Strings?
And things. No. This week's Tech Talk is touch surfaces that Bamboo has put out.
Okay.
Which, of course, Bamboo is, I shouldn't say owned, but it's a line of products from Wacom tablet company. Mm-hmm. And these surfaces they put out, they market them differently. Some come with a pen, some don't come with a pen. Anyway, these touch surfaces are roughly 4 inches by 3.5 inches. And they have, it's basically like the trackpad on your computer.
Mm-hmm.
But they're bigger. Mm-hmm. And they're meant to replace your mouse, basically. Because mm-hmm. you can use multi-touch mm-hmm. gestures. So you can scroll down and go left and back and forth and click and all that kind of stuff. But it's a nice big surface that is meant to replace your mouse instead of holding something and going crazy with a mouse that doesn't work. Mm-hmm. And they're USB. And you can also, like I said, you can get them with a pen, but the pen versions are almost twice the money as the non-pen versions. Mm. Nice, very nice. So that's the Bamboo multi-touch surfaces from Wacom.
Not to be confused with Bamboozled.
Right. Don't get confused.
All right, this week's Jabber Quote brought to us by...
Steve and Larry, fine purveyors of Hepcat necklaces.
Pulled that right out of the hat.
Yes, and if you want your Hepcat necklace, just visit them there at the corner of Wabash and Strabane in beautiful Burbank, California. Tell them Big JD and Lippo sent you from the Jabbercast. This week's quote, since there's no actual quotes quoting the 60s that I could find anyway, one of the... Well, the 60s were known for activism because people were mainly protesting the war. And also, there was racial strife in the country as well. The blacks were feeling suppressed or whatever, you know. So they were rising as well in society. So there was a lot of turmoil going on in the United States. And one of the activists that were out there in to protest the war and to stick up for the black people was Abbie Hoffman. Are you familiar with Abbie Hoffman?
Sure.
He wrote a book called Steal This Book is what it was called. And it was meant to, you know, how it explained how to live basically for free.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how to be a hippie pretty much is what that was all about. He's also, I remember seeing this just recently, he's the guy who went at Woodstock when The Who came on. Pete Townsend went to go do something with his amp or something, and Abbie Hoffman ran up to his amp and said something about John Sinclair, who had just been arrested for two joints and was put away for like 12 years or something like that. And I guess Pete Townsend just stabbed him with the butt of his guitar in his back. Like, you know, that can't feel too good. But anyway, and then if you go on YouTube, you can hear the stuff that he says there's no film of that, no video of that taken, but the Who put it out on one of their albums. Mm. And they give the what was being said. And basically Pete Townsend says, if anybody else after walks across the stage again, I'm going to kill him. And then like 2 seconds later, he says, you can laugh, man, but I mean it. So I don't know what he was high on, but anyway, so Abbie Hoffman, he was way out there. Anyway, so I'm going to give a couple quotes from Abbie Hoffman. The first duty of a revolutionary is to get away with it.
Nice.
Avoid all needle drugs. The only dope worth being shot. The only dope worth being shot is Nixon. Sacred cows make the tastiest hamburger. Once you get the right image, the details aren't that important. So he kind of knew his way around the media and the whole sleight of hand thing. And lastly, I believe in compulsory cannibalism. If people were forced to eat what they killed, there would be no more wars. So if you had to eat other humans, obviously,
right,
that would be no fun. So that's Abbie Hoffman quotes from the 1960s.
Okay. In closing, I guess we just want to let you know that next week we have the Breakfast Lunch and the Breakfast Lunch and Dinner Show. Which is your favorite mealtime? What's your dish of choice for each? And why are these the three mealtimes anyway? And,
yeah,
I should have an interview with Just Jeff. Just Jeff's Jeff from Just Jeff's. It's prepackaged food. Everything done in 8 minutes.
Oh, really?
Bring the packages home, drop them in boiling water, 8 minutes, boom, you got big dinner.
Just Jeff's.
Just Jeff's on Howard, yeah.
That has nothing to do with Jeff's Meats.
I don't think so.
That's on Walker Road, sorry.
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know. So that's next week's on the Jabbercast. I believe that would be November 29th. I'd like to thank TJ for the interview, John for hooking me up. Visit lodi.com, and I'll make sure to get TJ's website up here. So if anybody wants to just check it out, they can feel free. And don't forget that the full interview with TJ will be on this week's podcast. So
that's right. And we're also broadcasting on, if you want to listen to us live.
If you want to listen to us live, just go to our website.
Right.
TheJabberCast.com. And as well, you can email us
at hearmeout@TheJabberCast.com.
Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
Yes, it's the Jabbercast Podcast. Talk radio on the go. You can visit us on the web at thejabbercast.com. You can email Big JD at thejabbercast.com or Lippo at thejabbercast.com. As well, you can get involved with the shows by sending text emails and audio emails to hearmeout@thejabbercast.com. Copyright 2006, Big JD and Lippo. All rights reserved. Listener feedback encouraged. Some conditions apply. Open mind sold separately.